there any area of your life that what you're showing the people who know you is different than who you really are? I would just shift a little bit of my focus and begin to be somewhat concerned with what's happening on the inside and focus on what God wants to do inside my life. I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, it was many years ago, and I had just finished speaking. It was a Sunday night at the church where I was the associate pastor. And it was one of those services, maybe you experienced this if you grew up in church, or maybe you've experienced this at some point. It was just kind of a unique service where God did some pretty cool things that night. It was old school, and so at the end of the service, I would stand down front, the other pastors, and it was one of those come forward invitations, and people would come, and people were praying everywhere, and it was just something that I felt like, man, God did some really amazing stuff tonight. And I remember when that ended, and we dismissed, and people were leaving, I was standing on the floor down on this side of the platform, and a professor walked up to me. There was a school there, and I was in the Bible college. They also had a seminary, and he was a seminary professor, and it's where, if you're going to be in ministry, seminary is where you go for graduate work to study more, and he was one of the professors in the seminary. He walked over to me, and I won't tell you his name, but Dr. Harper walked over to me. I was standing there, and he had this angry look on his face, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And he walked up to me, and he said, "Don't ever do that again." And I looked at it, I didn't know what he was talking about. So what are you talking about? He said, "What you did tonight, don't ever do that again." He said, "When you're preaching, when you're a pastor on a church staff, don't ever share your weaknesses. Don't ever tell people if there's an area that you struggle. Don't share areas that you've messed up. As a pastor, people need you to be better than them. As a pastor, people need you to have things in your life together. They need to feel like you're just a step above and they're trying to strive to be like you and you've got the answers and you've got things figured out and you don't have the same problems they have. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever talk the way you talked in that message and tell people that you have areas that you wrestle also." I've never forgotten that moment. Part of the reason is I don't know how to do what he was asking me to do. It is not uncommon, and there is a line of thinking among professors and among some pastors that you don't let people see when you struggle or where you're weak, but that's just not who I am. I believe it lacks authenticity. Basically, what he was saying to me is, please make sure when you stand on a platform communicating the word of God, please make sure you're a hypocrite. We're in the series called What Would Jesus Undo? And one of the things I believe Jesus would undo is hypocrisy. And so this morning, I want to talk for just a few minutes about hypocrisy. What does it look like? What is it? Because I think in some ways we don't fully understand what it is, but I think also we don't fully understand Jesus' perspective about hypocrisy in our own lives. Brennan Manning said, quote, "The single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." You've heard it, I've heard it. Perhaps sometime you invited somebody, "Hey, you should come to C3, or you should come to church." And a pretty common response, often people will say, "I'm not going there. Church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites." And in some ways, it is a reputation well earned. Because pastors like me, because of churches, because of people who love Jesus, we've become very good in our culture of wearing masks. We've become very good at not really living in all the ways that we say what we believe. So what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is not the disparity between what we do and what we wish we did. That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not Man, I said those words again. I wish I wouldn't say those words. If they're foul words, that may well be sin, but it's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not, I keep having these thoughts and I let them stay in my mind too long and I process them, think about them, and I kind of stay there mentally too long, and it's not stuff that would honor God. Man, I wish I wouldn't do that. That might be sin, but it's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not the disparity between what we do and what we wish we did. Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we are. It's the gap between what we show and who we are. It's the difference in what we say versus how we live. Hypocrisy. And in our culture, social media, I think, has added to the condition. There's some amazing things about social media. I can connect with family and friends that don't live near me, and I can see what's going on in their lives and keep up with it, and they can see what's going on in my life and keep up with it. But social media has sort of led us to function in a way where we've become very good at showing people something different than how we normally live. I never see the burnt meal on social media, I see the great meal. I never see the bad date on the Instagram story, I see the great date. There are things about our lives that we hide and we don't fully show who we are. We show the highlight reel to people, but we don't really show the actual footage of day-to-day life and who I am. And we think like that. We think about what people think and what they think of us, and we live our lives making sure we are constantly positioning to show people something often that is very different than who we really are. And what's interesting about this is Jesus, when he was interacting with people that were being hypocritical in the scriptures, Jesus came strong. In fact, the word in the Greek, when Jesus would deal with this and deal with people and even rebuke them in a very strong way because of the hypocrisy in their own lives, the Greek word that Jesus would use literally means an actor, a stage player, one who hides behind a mask. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you hide behind a mask? Is there any area of your life that what you're showing the people who know you is different than who you really are? Because Jesus couldn't stand that. And if you're sitting here right now and you're kind of going through your mind and you're thinking of some areas in your own life where that might apply, and you're feeling maybe a little bit tense because you're not sure exactly where I'm going or how far I'm going to press into this, and you're feeling maybe a little bit awkward as you're processing, that is a good thing. It means you're somewhat self-aware. If you're sitting here thinking, I wish my husband was here, he needs this. He needs to hear it. If my son, can you send me the link to where this is gonna be? I got a guy I work with, he needs to hear this. You might be a hypocrite because you're thinking about other people. One of the greatest things you can do in a corporate service like this, where we come together as a community of faith, one of the greatest things you can do that is on par with worship is evaluating everything that happens and everything that comes from the scriptures in my own life. It does you no good to evaluate the life of somebody else. It is an emotional waste of energy. What you and I need to do is the verses that apply to me, let them apply to me. There's one verse in Titus that is somewhat piercing to me. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Have you known people like that? Stop. Have you acted like that? Oh, I'm a Christ follower. Are there people in spheres of influence that you have, in circles that you run in, are there people who know maybe you go to church or know that you're a Christ follower, but they look at your life, how you talk, how you think, some of the things you do, they look at some things and it's like, man, really? Does your life help people think that following Jesus, Christ follower, is just a label to be worn instead of a life to be lived? And Jesus never spoke more harshly than to hypocrites. It's who he came the strongest against. And Matthew chapter 23, there are seven woes where Jesus says, woe to you if this. And Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. You look great on the outside. You have everything together on the outside, but inside, there's a kind of death. There's a kind of uncleanness. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. How much time do we spend on the outside? When you got up this morning, before you bothered to come, right after you checked all the weather notifications on your phone, and you decided, is it raining too much for me to go? No, I think I'll go. Before you came, you looked in the mirror. You grabbed an iron. You did something with your hair to make sure it looked like you did nothing with your hair. You spent some time getting ready. You paid attention on how you would look on the outside. How much time did you spend this morning before you came to worship the King of Kings? How much time did you spend getting ready on the inside? We prepare the outside for what other people see. But God sees past the mask you wear, the mask I wear. God sees past all that to who we really are. And he's speaking to the religious leaders, the religious elite of the day. And he's speaking in a way that no one else would dare to speak to them. And he's saying basically who you are and how you live. You may look right on the outside, but on the inside, you're unclean. On the inside, spiritually, there's a kind of death that you're living in. These people would do everything they could to look good on the outside. The Pharisees, they would go in public and pray. And when they would pray in public, their prayers would be, thank you, God, that I'm not like this gal over here who's such a sinner. Thank you, God, that I'm so much better than that. They would literally pray that. And God is saying to them, Jesus is saying to their faces, I see through all of that. And then notice what he says. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And notice what he calls them. You snakes. I mean, Jesus just keeps coming. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Jesus is saying, how in the world do you think you're not going to hell? So apparently, the issue of hypocrisy, while you and I might sort of nod it off or think, man, everybody deals with hypocrisy. I mean, it's not that big a deal. We all struggle with it. While you and I may take a casual approach, apparently, it is a huge deal to Jesus for him to come that strong. He's saying a hypocrite wants to look good on the outside while being dirty on the inside. That's who a hypocrite is. They want to look good on the outside while being dirty on the inside. Hypocrites function in that way. There's just a way about their day-to-day life. They want to look good on the outside while being dirty on the inside. Three times I've said it. Pop the slide over. Thank you. All right. Hypocrites want the illusion of public virtue while hiding private vices. It's all about how they do on the outside. And notice what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Have you ever had one of your kids who aren't supposed to take dishes upstairs or to their bedrooms? I mean, this hadn't happened to you, but you probably know somebody it happened to. It's never happened in my home, but if I were to actually say that, I would be a huge hypocrite right now. They take dishes upstairs, and then they forget them. And after a couple of days, you start to know, what's that smell? What's something died in the wall? Is it like what? And you go upstairs, and you begin to investigate, and you find this dish, and in it, there is some form of plant life now growing. But before you see in it, when you're looking across the room, and you spot it over there on the outside, it looks fine. It looks fine. It's not until you're able to get in a perspective where you can see the inside that you see it's not fine, it's filthy. It's the picture that Jesus continues to paint over and over again. He compares it to a whitewashed tomb, but on the inside there's something dead. He compares it to dishes. Why would you bother spending as much time as you spend cleaning up the outside and never focusing on the inside And if the inside of the dish is dirty, it's a dirty dish, no matter how clean the outside is. Then he goes even further. Blind Pharisee, first clean up the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. He's saying, if you would just shift a little bit of your focus, if I would just shift a little bit of my focus and begin to be somewhat concerned with what's happening on the inside and focus on what God wants to do inside my life and the things that I don't show other people, the things that I hide from other people, the things that God knows about and I know about, the things maybe that you and I would be ashamed of or the things that we may regret. If we would spend some time focusing on the inside, transformation that is sustainable happens on the inside. You can't change things on the outside and it lasts if you don't change things on the inside. I go to a gym 5 mornings a week to lift weights. And as I'm getting older, I'm trying to lift more and more weight. I'm trying to do everything I can to get stronger and stronger. I don't bother doing abs at all because they're already big enough. I spend time on other stuff and I try to lift and I try. But listen, I didn't decide and I was not consistent in going to the gym until something on the inside said enough is enough. That there was an internal reckoning with myself and where I was and where I wanted to be. And when that happened, then the outward behavior followed. If it's just on the outside, it's not sustainable. And so he's saying, hey, this is the danger with living in hypocrisy. You get to the place where you begin to believe your own lies. And once you're in that place, you limit what God can do inside you. And everything becomes living about the facade you show to other people. And when you limit what God can do inside you, you've limited God in your life. And then in this one shot, this one life that you and I get to live on planet Earth, you miss who you were created to be. And when you miss who you were created to be, you miss the life God created you to live. You miss it. And when you miss the life God created you to live, we all miss out because you're not being you. And the you that God created can make a significant contribution. So Dr. Harper said, I shouldn't share my weaknesses. I shouldn't talk about areas that I struggle. I shouldn't share times where I had doubts or things that I wrestled with. But I've just decided I'd rather be an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. I'd rather function in a level of authenticity. The last thing I want to do is have people think, oh, the pastor, man, he's got it all together. He does have a perfect head. He's able to shave it. It's amazing. But other than that, I mean, that's who I want to be like. No. I don't want to point you to me. I want to point you to Jesus because that's who I need. That's who you need. That's the only one that can transform us on the inside. So Jesus has zero tolerance, no tolerance for hypocrisy. None whatsoever. It made him angry, and it makes him just as angry today. It made him sick. Jesus has no tolerance for hypocrisy, but if you're here this morning, and you're processing this, and you're thinking about areas of your life where you're living in some hypocrisy, hey, we all do. We all do. In seasons of life, sometimes in areas of life, some wrestle in other areas, some in others. We all do. Jesus has no tolerance for hypocrisy, but listen, he has unlimited grace for a sinner in need of forgiveness. Unlimited grace for a sinner in need of forgiveness. And that's why when I am honest with myself about my condition and where I am, I'm then able to be honest with the God who can do something about it. Proverbs has been called the book of wisdom. Proverbs says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Just think about that. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Pastor, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, there's some stuff I'm wrestling with and some stuff I'm struggling with. I don't know if I could talk to God about that. It's kind of embarrassing and awkward, and I'm kind of hoping he's really, really busy and just doesn't notice maybe. Maybe it's, you know, it's off season. Maybe he's really finally trying to help his team, the Cowboys, get in a position in the fall, and maybe he's just preoccupied and not going to kind of notice me and my little world, and I don't know how to talk to God about this. And to talk to a couple of friends about it, did you know the Bible says that we're to confess our sins to God and to others? Now, we need to be wise and discerning. Always be wise and discerning in who you bring into your inner circle. Make sure it's people that love Jesus and love you, absent any other agenda. But when you find those two or three people and you bring them in, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. But man, Pastor, I don't think I could talk to God about this, and I certainly don't think I could talk to anybody else about this. I'm ashamed of this, or I'm embarrassed, or I just, it's not something. I mean, after all, if I said that, then they might think less of me. And fear is keeping you from taking the step that could free you. See, you have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. You have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. So I want to encourage you, man, spend some time talking to God about it in prayer. You're not going to shock him. There's nothing you could say to God that he'd be like, dang, I don't even think I like you now. I had no idea. There's nothing. He already knows. So the person who already knows that you don't want to talk to him about it is the only one who can heal and help, and you're not talking to him about it. And then find a couple of people. And if you say, man, I don't really know anybody that loves Jesus like that or that I feel like loves me like that, in a couple months when we kick off community groups in the fall, you need to get in one. You'll meet some people that will love Jesus and love you. Because here's the reality in life. Life is hard enough. Why function in a way that adds pain to it? You're going to deal with enough in life that is unfair. You and I are going to deal with enough in life that's not right. We're going to deal with enough obstacles that aren't of our own doing that bring pain. Why make the choice to live in a way that lacks authenticity, that lacks faith, that Jesus compares to something dead spiritually on the inside? And he says, if you live like this, how in the world are you going to miss hell? Why choose to live like that when you don't have to? Just come clean on the inside with God. Come clean on the inside with a couple of close friends that love Jesus and love you, because you're only as strong as you are honest. You're only as strong as you are honest. So I want to ask you, this week, Monday through Saturday, every day, I want to ask you to just take a moment sometime in your day. Maybe it's early in the morning, or maybe it's in the evening before you're wrapping up your day. Take some time and look at just two verses. I'm going to be doing this. I invite you to do this. This week, it's a prayer of King David, and I'm asking you to join me in making this our individual prayer this week as we roll through the week. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Pause. How much anxiety in your life and mine do you think is created by living a less than authentic life? How much anxiety is there in hiding who we really are, what we're really dealing with? So the psalmist, King David, prays, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so tomorrow, Monday, open your Bible, or if you use YouVersion on your phone, just pop open the app, go to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, read it, and just say, God, this is my prayer. Why is that important? David was specifically wise, purposefully wise, intentional about his prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart, because in reality, there are times I don't even know my own heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. God, if there's anything in my life, if there's any habit, if there's any pattern, if there's any motivation behind things I do, even the good things. God, if there's any part of anything in my life that is bringing a kind of spiritual death, that's bringing a level of hypocrisy to my life, God, please reveal it to me. Because there are things in my life that I spend a lot of time trying to ignore. And then there are other areas of my life that I have blind spots. So God, I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to inspect, to search, to thoroughly look over everything about who I am and how I function. And bring it to my attention so I can be made right with you, and lead me in the way everlasting. I wonder what would happen in your life, in my life. I wonder what would happen in your marriage, my marriage. I wonder what would happen in our parenting. I wonder what would happen in our jobs, in our friendships, in our relationships. If we prayed this prayer every day for 7 days and asked God to do what King David asked, and then as God brings things to your mind and heart and brings things to my mind and heart, confess it before him, ask him to change it and lead us in the way everlasting. I wonder what could happen in those areas of life. And what do you have to lose? Because what you have right now is the anxiety that comes from living a life hiding things. Why not try it? Because you're risking missing too much if you don't. Would you pray with me this morning?